America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge along with Christina Staffo, and we are in the middle of our conversation with grief expert Russell Friedman. We're talking about how to deal with that time when you know you need to put your pet down.
Now, nobody would want to keep a pet alive in misery just because they're afraid of how they'll feel if it dies. So that's the decision making. If keeping your pet alive with no quality of life, only in pain, drugged up to the gills, is that a way that you would want to honor this pet you love? And usually if I can ask people that question, they can go, okay. And I can convince them that, yes, it's okay to be scared, but yes, you can deal with your broken heart much more effectively. Now, if you put your dog down because it's the right thing to do, you will still feel sad. You will still question your decision. But if you don't, and you leave that pet linger for weeks or months, just in absolute abject misery, that's something I can't help you with after the fact. You're going to have to live with that.
Yeah.
And so the real decision is living with the consequence of what you do or don't do.
So there's guilt involved in this. I mean, yeah, you to at the end. I mean, I've never had to put a pet down, but I've lost two pets, two dogs to a broken relationship. And it was almost like my heart was being ripped out of my chest when I had to give my dogs up.
And say goodbye.
You know, and say goodbye. And, you know, I think about, like, my mom has two cats. She's very close with one of them. This cat is like a dog. The cat follows her around. They eat together. She sleeps next to her in the bed. And I always make, like, a lighthearted joke, but in all seriousness, we're going to need to have, like, an intervention with her when Marvin finally, you know, people think, oh, you know, and it's like, no, you don't understand. She has a bond with this animal. I think that animals can help someone get out of a depression, or I understand where this grieving recovery really needs to be spoken about and be brought to the light, because I think it happens more often than people know.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I remembered, and this is a great piece of guidance that we got, when our dog, Chloe, was near the end, had cancer, we'd spent $8,000, it didn't work.
Wow.
And it became near the end. And we were at the vet one day, I'll never forget, myself, my spouse, and her daughter, who was then in her 20s. And we said to the doc, Dr. Steve, when will we know? How will we know? And he said, quote, he said, watch her. She'll show you. And sure enough, one morning, about a week and a half later, I woke up and I looked into, Chloe looked at me with just, you know, half awake. And she looked at my spouse, and then my daughter-in-law came in, and we all went, oh, my gosh, this is it. We took her to Dr. Steve. He looked at her and said, perfect. He knew it was the time. The dog had managed. I know, and I'm not weird or woo-woo. It's just we knew. The dog's body signaled, okay, enough.
It's time.
And I was just going to bring that up, because when we put our cat down, this was back in 2008 on Mother's Day. I remember it like it was yesterday. The cat had been sick for a while. I came home from work that morning. I had to work, and my wife said, you know, he's really not doing well. And when you said, listen to the vet, I took him to the emergency veterinary hospital, and four words, it really is time. And I remember that. And that, you know, was able to comfort me that, you know what, it's enough. It's almost to the point, and my wife said this, you'll keep the pet alive for your own selfish needs.
Yep.
Because you're not ready to let go, but they are ready to let go. And that's so important to be able to know when that moment really is.
Yeah, and in fairness to all of us, you, me, and everyone else who's ever been in that situation or will be, it isn't really selfish. It's fearful. It's a legitimate fear. How will I live without her or him, the cat, the dog, the horse, the parakeet? We are so connected to them. They have meaning. Remember, when we feel sad, when we feel hurt, we often go to our pet and tell them stuff we don't even tell our mates or friends. We can be unconditional with them in talking about our feelings, where we might be a little frightened to admit things to people. So the very source of comfort, our pet, becomes the source of pain when it's dying or when it dies. And that's something we have to recognize. That's why one of the reasons people are fearful of letting go when you know, intellectually they can see they need to. By the way, I want to do two cute things. My favorite line in the whole book is, remember, your dog never said you were fat, ugly, or stupid.
That's true. Unconditional love right there.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing is to tell everybody listening my favorite prayer, and it doesn't have to be about a dog, but my favorite prayer is, Lord, please let me be half the man my dog thinks I am.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
It's your dog will always be loyal to you, and it's unconditional love. They are always happy to see you walk in the door.
Exactly right. Well, it is a subject that is not discussed that much, and it really needs to be, because it is something that Russell mentioned affects millions and millions of people in this country every year. Again, he is the co-author of the book, The Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss. You can visit the Grief Recovery Institute's website at www.griefrecoverymethod.com. Russell Friedman, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Ed and Christina, I send you both a giant hug, and my butt is wagging.
Thank
even as
you.
I say that.
Hey, very nice.
Thanks,
Russell. Stay with us.
Bye.
More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Stoffa.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
In 1990, author J.K. Rowling was struggling with the plot of an adult novel when the character of Harry Potter suddenly came to her.
She shifted course and began working on a children's story instead. How did this happen?
She took a break. Research shows that when stuck on a problem, taking a break allows for creative connections that result in breakthroughs.
Psychologist K. Anders Ericsson says top performers work in 90-minute cycles and then take a break. It's called pulsing. Use your breaks to daydream, look outside, go for a walk or a ride.
Move between spending and renewing your energy. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Bats have been found dead and infected with a white fungus in their noses across Vermont, Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts. Why are bats important? Well, one bat can eat over 1,000 mosquitoes and insects each summer night. Alarmingly, some 500,000 bats may have that fungus now. This winter, another 10,000 bats died, many during winter food hunts when they exhausted what little body fat reserves they had left for winter hibernation. Poor air quality and newly dying bats could pose serious insect infestation during summertime. Since delicate bats reproduce very slowly, scientists are ringing the alarm. Seems our new greener thinking can only ensure a better chance for this eco-balancing species. From the Greeniverse, this is Harrison.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.